It's the All Things Strange Podcast. We are your hosts, Agent Anderson and
Agent ETA.
Come along as we examine UFO sightings, conspiracies, and all things strange. You can find all of our wonderful links in the description on the Linktree, where you can find our Discord, our merchandise, our Patreon, and more. This week's episode, The Satanic Panic.
This is a fun one.
This is a good one. Yeah.
Look, the Satanic Panic, it stretches decades, and there's all sorts of different influences that, like, the Satanic Panic had throughout culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to talk about a couple of specific incidents, but I'm sure we'll get into plenty of stuff. This topic was chosen by our Patreon subscribers. We've got three tiers for you. The first tier will get you early access and after hours. The second tier will get you bonus episodes, and the final tier will allow you to vote on upcoming topics such as this one. That's right. All of our topics are chosen by our Patreon subscribers. Well, let's get started. What is the Satanic Panic?
Well, shit, it's a panic that happened mostly in with religion and such. And I mean, everything from songs having satanic meanings and stuff, and everything from cartoons to songs to, like, everything cultural, you know, like, it's kind of weird how many satanic meanings you can find in, like, not just, like, music and cultural stuff, you know, but also, like, in, like, the logos from companies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, you know, there's a lot of 666 stuff going on there. And you can look at certain logos and stuff and find that representation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's also a shocking number of celebrities that will use satanic symbolism. Like, if they're taking a photograph, how many celebrities, they do like this with their hand? And that's like, that's supposed to be like the number 6 three times, because you got 666, right? You see it with the hand. We're doing the video format now, so you can actually, actually do stuff.
And there's also there's countless photos of different celebrities wearing like jewelry and stuff as well, where it has like some sort of a representation of Baphomet. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Baphomet is basically a transgender or hermaphrodite devil.
It's got parts from both people, both genders, I guess.
Yeah, there's that famous picture of like Baphomet with the horns and stuff, and like it looks like he's holding a sword, mm-hmm, like that, but that's not a sword, you know, it's his dingling, you know.
but he/it has also breastises.
Yes, it does as well. Yeah. And also you see the one that stands out in my mind is like some of the jewelry that some actors and actresses will wear, straight up is a Baphomet like head or something like that. You know, Beyonce, I remember her seeing her wear some stuff on like a red carpet event or something like that, where the jewelry was like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, that is a depiction of Baphomet. You have to look up those pictures. Like, I'm sure they're probably available on Google Images or something like that.
Yeah.
But, everything from, like Super Bowl halftime shows to, you know, like I said, company logos and stuff like that. Even, like, you know, if you want to get really into the weeds, measurements in certain historical buildings that represent, like, 666 or something like that. You know, like, there's... You can go forever on this topic. It seems to be everywhere.
There's a pentagram in Washington, D.C. The street plan is part of it. It's a pentagram. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and also the Washington Monument itself is obelisk, right? Which is supposed to be, it represents the male phallus, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Washington Monument from like a top-down view, it sits within a double Vesca Pisces. Is that what I think is what it's called? I think that's what it's called. So Vesca Pisces represents like the womb. So you have, you know, or vagina, whatever you want to call it, you know. So you have, you know, a male phallus sticking out of a VJ there, you know.
Yeah.
That's a little suspect. Weird to me, at least. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what that means, what that represents, but it seems weird to me, at least.
Just fertility, dude. It's not a big deal.
Maybe. Yeah.
How big is the Washington Monument? It's gigantic.
Yeah. Somebody was bragging.
Yeah. It's the John Holmes of monuments.
Mm-hmm.
But the satanic panic is still kind of with us today, like we were just talking about with the celebrities. And I think I saw a picture from the Super Bowl with Taylor Swift. What her friend that was next to her had some kind of satanic necklace or something. I don't know. But the satanic panic is referring to a specific moral panic that kind of started in the late 70s and went through the 80s to the early 90s, early to mid 90s. And it was a moral panic similar to like the Red Scare. There's been a bunch of them, but like the Red Scare, for example, there's been two Red Scares. The first was in 1917, which was caused by the Russian Revolution, more or less, and other revolutions around the world. The second Red Scare, which is the one that we're mostly more familiar with, most people have heard of, was from 1947 to 57, and that's the one where Senator Joseph McCarthy hauled people up in front of Congress and accused them of being communists. For example, mm-hmm. Aaron Copland, who's, if you've ever heard like American Western music, like the sound of those Western movies, that's Aaron Copland. He kind of invented that style. He wasn't a communist. He was probably a homosexual or gay. I'm not sure what the correct terminology is anymore, but gay maybe? I don't know. Queer? That's correct. Am I going to get canceled right now?
I don't know. Whichever comes first, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, like, but anyway.
Call yourself or you could call yourself.
He wasn't a, he was not a communist, but he was not your typical American either. So they just hauled him up and questioned him in front of Congress for no good reason. It's the strangest thing. You know, the next witch hunt is always right around the corner. We'll see what happens next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain events as well, like the trial of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, the Soviet Union testing a nuclear weapon, the trial of Alger Hiss, and a bunch of stuff like that that all contributed to this panic. So it wasn't just Senator McCarthy. He was just sort of the culmination of all these things. But there were communists here, communist subverters or agents or whatever. So it wasn't all completely made up and nonsense. There was some truth to some of this stuff, and people were really afraid. It was a very tense time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things, like when I first started doing a little bit of research on the satanic panic, it kind of reminded me of that episode that we did about the Salem witch trials, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's some of it was possibly, you know, legit, but also like there's a bunch of people, they were just, you know, they were trying to reach everywhere to find anything that even remotely like resembled some kind of satanic message or something like that. Like they're, you know, kind of, they're reaching far, you know?
Yeah. Well, and with a lot of these panics, there is some kernel of truth there. For example, like the Red Scare, there was something to be scared of for real. Some of the other panics were dangerous dogs in the United Kingdom, which led to legislation basically outlawing or banning pit bulls and Rottweilers, maybe. I don't know. Violence in video games. You remember that one, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat and all that stuff. The war on drugs, human trafficking, stuff like that. These are all moral panics similar to the satanic panic. All of them have some basis in truth, but all of them have also been completely blown out of proportion in some way or other. My favorite example from the war on drugs is when I think it was the DEA, I don't know, one of these branches of the government actually sent weapons down to the cartels of Mexico.
Oh yeah.
So that they could track the weapons when they were used to murder people. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. I don't know if that's part of a moral panic or not, but it's definitely weird. But there's tons of these. They are all based, there are, you know, the war on drugs, there is a drug problem, you know, but
sure.
Was it blown out of proportion? Probably. I mean, I remember when I was in middle school getting a questionnaire. We're talking about a pretty nice area. Like, we were in a fairly blue-collar neighborhood, but we grew up in Diamond Bar, and it's not a rough area at all.
No. Yeah.
There's the only gangs are kind of like pretend gangs. They're not like, you know.
Yeah. Well, there were some that were affiliated with other gangs around the area and like in LA and stuff. Like they may have had connections, but they weren't like your hardcore gang members. You know, they.
Yeah. But I got like a questionnaire in middle school saying, you know, listing all these drugs. Have you tried this drug? Have you tried that drug? You know, have you done this? Have you done that? Like none of these kids are doing cocaine and heroin in middle school.
No.
This is like sixth grade. Not where we lived.
Where we lived in middle school, you'd hear about like people smoking weed and stuff like that, you know. Like weed is like I would have to assume like pretty much wherever you go, weed is probably available. But like when you talk about like drugs like meth or heroin or something like that, you know, not so much. It was definitely there, and like, but like only like once you got older, you'd see that going around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like once I got into high school and stuff like that, yeah, if you wanted it, if you had the money, you could probably get it. You just had to know the right people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, the big word is fentanyl. Fentanyl's everywhere. That's every freaking where, dude. And obviously, I mean, most people know nowadays that it's an extremely dangerous drug just because of, like, you know, you only need a couple little grains of it to actually get high, from what I understand.
Yeah,
it's a really synthetic opioid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a synthetic opioid. And then, you know, people mix it in with, like, a heroin or this or that, whatever, from what I understand. And it's really easy to get a hot batch, and it's just more than what you're used to. And then, bam, that's it. Like, it's just too much for you. You overdose, right. You know?
So, yeah, there's been a lot of moral panics throughout the years, but we're going to focus on this one because why the hell not? They voted for it, so let's do it. Mm-hmm. So it was mainly in the 1980s, you know, jean jackets, hair bands, yuppies, all that stuff. It was a great time, man. I wish I could go back. The 80s were glorious.
I was born in the 80s, but, you know, I consider myself a 90s kid because that's like, you know, my formative years, right? Yeah. Like when you're like in your teens and stuff, you know. So I remember the 80s, but, you know, I was so young, you know, born in 83. It's not like a ton of it that I remember, you know. Well, I definitely remember the music.
Well, there was apparently tons and tons of devil worship in the 80s. Mm-hmm. That was a thing too, you know. So there were thousands of cases of suspected devil worship going around. And this is the Satanic Panic was basically just a bunch of individual, like local, regional, and national cases that sort of culminated in, you know, and a kind of added up to a panic, right?
Yeah.
It's, like we said, still around today in some parts. And there's the Satanic Panic's interesting because you can find similar cases going like way back, way, way back, even to like Roman times, where a minority population is accused of doing bad stuff, killing, sacrificing kids, eating them.
Witchcraft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they might not have called it Satanic Panic back then, but there's a pattern. That's for sure. There's a pattern that goes back a very long time that once in a while it comes back around. So this one started and was mostly in the USA, although it did kind of go worldwide to an extent. It began with the publication, or more or less, it began with the publication of Michelle Remembers by Lawrence Pazder. It was about a woman named Michelle Smith who used memory therapy to recover lost memories. And the methods that they used to recover her lost memories have pretty much been debunked. There's a lot of debate about the validity of recovering lost memories, and the way they were doing it is you put somebody under hypnosis and you can suggest things to them or ask leading questions, and you get them to kind of remember things that didn't actually happen. So that's,
you can influence them.
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of what seems like it happened here.
But didn't I thought that book was written in Canada, wasn't it?
I think it was actually, yeah.
So it started off both in Canada and the United States at the same time.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So according to the book, the abuse happened to Smith when she was 5 years old, and she was abused by the Church of Satan. Of course, her parents were members of the church. The abuse included torture, imprisonment, and sexual abuse. She witnessed rituals, human sacrifice. Some parts of the sacrificed people were cut off, like arms or fingers or whatever, were cut off and used to wipe blood on her and as part of the rituals. One of the rituals allegedly lasted a total of 81 days and summoned Satan himself.
Jesus Christ.
I know, right? Later on, Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and Michael removed her scars and wiped her memory until the time was right, of course. So they said, we're gonna cleanse you of all this. You're not going to remember it, so you don't have to suffer through this until you're ready. Kind of a thing, I guess. I don't know. Which begs the question, why wouldn't they have intervened sooner and prevented it in the first place? I don't know. The Lord works in mysterious ways, I suppose.
Perspective? I don't know. Knowledge gained? I don't know. You have to go through it in order to get through it.
Could be. Claims in the book were investigated and were debunked by investigators. I don't want to go through the whole book right now. It's a story, I suppose, but they made claims in the book, and those claims did not check out. We'll just leave it at that, I guess. So this whole thing was kicked off by basically a work of fiction. Didn't actually happen, at least not the way that they told it. But the book was full of like lurid and explicit stories of things that were really good at pushing the buttons of, Christian America, stuff that really bothered them. It worked.
Yeah.
It became a sensation. They took it seriously. And the guy who wrote the book eventually married his patient, who was, Smith. And he became an expert on satanic rituals, which is kind of ironic.
Weird.
Yeah.
Suspect a little bit.
A little sus, yeah. They sold a lot of books, I guess,
At least they made money.
Yeah. Hey, can't blame them, I suppose, but it had all sorts of other implications. On May 16th, 1985, he went on 2020, and this 2020, if you're not familiar, used to be, I don't know if it's still around, but it used to be a pretty big show.
I think it's still around because I've seen like clips like on like YouTube and stuff like here and there recently, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, not just yesterday, but I know definitely within like the last couple of years I've still seen, because they have like 2020 like in the United States is where it came, but I also seen some clips from 2020 Australia, I think it was. Pretty sure.
But yeah, it used to be a really popular show. Everybody watched it. Well, not everybody, but it's a very, popular. If something went on there, then that was national.
Yeah. And
when he went on there, it kind of made the panic blow up even more. It really helped perpetuate this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And this is obviously well before, the age of the internet and stuff like that. I mean, 2020 back in his heyday was a very influential show. It was very credible. Is that the right word?
Yeah. Whatever.
Credible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Credible. So like a lot of people kind of took what they did as like a very serious journalism. Right.
Yeah, for sure. So Padzer went on to give seminars to all sorts of people, but mostly like the police on satanic ritual abuse and mental health people, workers and stuff like that. Which is crazy because it's all made up, right? But he's giving seminars to important people in the government that make decisions about this stuff, like the police, on it's just absolutely bizarre, right? They make up this wild story, and then they go and educate the police on what to look for to identify ritual abuse. It's the strangest thing.
It is. Taking a class on satanic worship and how to identify those type of people, it seems like kind of a weird thing for law enforcement to focus on.
So there's so many different versions of the satanic cults that were happening at this time, but there are some common themes, such as child abduction, breeding children for satanic rituals and sacrifices, using children. It's usually children, right? It kind of centers around children. Yeah. And if you want to get somebody upset, then you get them worried about their children. That's how you get, that's the easiest way to get somebody upset, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard numbers. I don't know them off the top of my head, but like it's one of those things where the amount of missing children just in this country, let alone worldwide or what have you, but just in this country, the numbers that I've heard are staggering. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know why like law enforcement or the government just in general doesn't put more effort towards trying to find out where all these missing children are. And it seems like a lot of them are, I have to assume, maybe I'm wrong, but a lot of them are probably, you know, human trafficking situations where somebody was abducted and sold into human trafficking, you know, and what they're being used for. I don't know. Maybe the politicians, you know, are benefiting from this, and maybe that's why they don't put more effort into policing this type of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, preventing it. Look at the list of people who went to Lolita Island or whatever. Yeah. You know, like,
well,
there's a lot of names on that list.
Yeah, and you know, part of it also because, like I said, like the number. I wish I had the number. I don't have it in front of me. Like how many missing children there are a year in this country that go missing. There's certainly maybe a part of it where some kid runs away because they're not happy with their situation at home for whatever reason. But there's so many freaking missing children in this country every year that I kind of assume that there might quite possibly be a satanic ritual, you know, cult that is in not only like Hollywood, but also, you know, high ranging politicians and stuff like that. I heard quite a few stories of like, you know, a satanic ritual being embedded in like politics and stuff like that, you know, and also certainly in Hollywood. And I wonder, like, does it connect directly towards all these missing children and stuff? That, you know, because part of like a satanic ritual, if you're going to like sacrifice like a kid, it's because you're sacrificing and using their innocence. And that's the main reason why, like, to sacrifice an adult that isn't innocent doesn't mean much to Satan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing about this is there might be some kernel of truth here, but with the satanic panic, they believed that there was like a global spanning organization of Satan worshipers, basically, that were in all levels of government. It was this really paranoid thing. They thought there were, I don't know, something on the order of like 1 million devil worshipers in America alone that had infiltrated everything, the government, the police, whatever.
And culture, everything, yeah.
Everything. It's I don't know what they suspected. I don't think was actually the reality of it, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't something going on. I think it was just blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, I think there was a kernel of truth there, but like they started looking everywhere and making up like you know reasons why something might be satanic. You know,
yeah,
and I'm sure there's some of that out there. Certainly, there's Satan worshipers. This is not like a thing that isn't a thing, I guess. To sound, you know, whatever. Anyways, it's definitely, there are definitely Satan worshipers out there, but is it everywhere? I don't know. I mean,
well, and I think this sort of thing distracts from the real problems. For example, you know, the Epstein thing, right? Something like that. If you blow it out of proportion and you say, oh no, it's something like out of a movie, you know, this elite cabal of Satan worshipers, maybe it was that, I don't know. But there's definitely some shenanigans going on. But
for sure,
when you have all these bizarre rituals and things that are being alleged, we'll get into a couple specific cases in a minute so you can see what I'm talking about. But the cases that were being, there's something like 12,000 separate cases alleged or something. And the cases that were alleged, I think, were distracting from the real problems, you know? So there's a kernel there, but I think they were focusing on the wrong thing. Now, there was a couple of movies that influenced the satanic panic, and these are important for a reason. So we're talking about Rosemary's Baby. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That shit is creepy.
Yeah.
That
the
one's
Exorcist.
Even, That, yeah, Exorcist is another one.
Yeah, the original Exorcist. I heard tales of religious individuals when they saw that movie, like in the movie theater, like they ran out. Like they thought they actually like were watching an actual exorcism or what have you. Like they didn't want to see the satanic material, you know?
Yeah. Those movies are really creepy. There's a few more like that, but some of the victims who described scenes or rituals, they described something exactly out of those movies. Mm-hmm. So under hypnosis, when they're asked to recall something, they recall something that they saw in a movie. Maybe it'd be one hell of a coincidence though, you know?
Yeah.
But there is some evidence that some of this stuff was blown out of proportion, you know? And the strange thing is that some of these people may have actually suffered abuse, but there is a thing where people who suffer abuse don't remember it, right? Trauma can be forgotten. So it's possible that they vaguely remembered the trauma, and under hypnosis, they were prompted or they were asked leading questions, or they sort of had the blanks filled in, and their mind somehow conflated the movie with the traumatic experience that they had had. I think that's a real possibility here for some of these cases.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a possibility for that influence, like especially if they were heavily influenced, like, to use the word again, by that movie. Like it was like an experience, because like you know how sometimes like you have certain movies that really stand out, you know, that you've watched that you either really like or really hate, whatever it may be, you know, but that still could be a heavy influence for some people, I suppose.
Yeah. Even like really bad movies can have scenes that are, you know, kind of get you. Like, I remember I saw this movie when I was a kid, because, you know, our parents didn't really police the TV. So if you got up in the middle of the night in the summer, you go on HBO and watch all that crap they had to fill in the time, you know, they had a lot of filler movies. I saw one called The Stuff, and it was, I don't know if you ever saw this.
I'm not sure.
These people, they're like mining for something, like the Arctic or something. It's like snow. And they find this stuff that's in the ground, and they start taking it out of the ground, and somebody eats it, and it tastes like dessert, it looks like whipped cream or something, right? So they sell it in the grocery stores, and people eat it. Everybody loves it. It's great. But I guess it goes inside of you, and it like gestates or something, and then people would just like vomit it back out, and you know, their mouths would get real wide and it would just come out. And it's like the dumbest movie ever, but when I was a kid, it creeped me out. Look it up. I think it's called The Stuff.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I want to say that I might have seen it, but maybe I didn't see the whole movie or something. I don't know. But that premise sounds kind of familiar.
Let me see if I can find like a poster.
I'm not going to say I have the greatest memory, so I may have seen the movie. I just maybe forgot about it or just plain didn't remember it because it wasn't that good, what have you.
Okay, so here's the film poster from Wikipedia, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. See if it shows it. See if it'll focus on that. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, I can see it. The Stuff. Warning.
Yeah, The Stuff.
I don't remember that poster, but...
But like you were saying, that there's just certain scenes from movies that kind of get you sometimes. That was maybe a bit of a diversion, but whatever. Let's get back to the Satanic Panic. It was called, at one point, somebody called it a hidden Holocaust, because they said thousands of people were being murdered a year, but it was being covered up because, like we said, the Satan worshipers had infiltrated police, media, coroners or morticians or whatever to hide it all. And also a reason why it was being covered up is because people were breeders. They would specifically be impregnated, sometimes against their will, sometimes willing, and then the babies would be used in the rituals. Sorry guys, I should have done a disclaimer. This one gets pretty gruesome.
Yeah, I mean, if that is true, that's horrific. I mean, I don't even want to imagine.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to do too many of the descriptions from what I saw, because it's not fun. I want to do a fun show. I don't want to talk about the stuff that they were talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But that's part of the, you know, that's just part of the idea, is that there are thousands of people being murdered all over the place, but nobody knows about it because it's being covered up. That's part of the panic, you know? But little detail I found, I didn't know about this. I didn't see this at the time because I was pretty young, but good old Geraldo Rivera did a special on it. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Was it good?
Fucking Geraldo Rivera, dude. What a douchebag.
He's good though. I mean,
he was good. He's talented,
very good at what he does. Know?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It's one of those, he's one of those people for me at least. Like, cause you know, like throughout your life, like sometimes you meet somebody and you immediately know you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no reason for it really,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like his personality and I don't know. I just don't like the guy, you know. He's definitely successful. He's, you know, he's had a very, you know, successful career, but I don't like the guy.
Is for whatever the mustache?
I couldn't tell you. No. I respect a man with a good stout mustache, you know, but I couldn't tell you why. I don't know why. I just don't like the guy, I suppose. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Couldn't explain it.
Yeah. But I mean, so either way, he's a big deal though. And he had a special on TV basically claiming all the stuff that people were afraid of. And it was completely made up, of course. He had no evidence for any of it. And later on, he would actually come out and apologize for that special because it contributed.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. It contributed to actual, like, real people got hurt because of this panic. It wasn't all just fun and games, you know?
Yeah. A lot of people prosecuted for, like, crimes that they did not commit, what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to one case. There's so many cases, we couldn't possibly do them all. In a lot of these cases, there's so much to them that you could do entire episodes on just one of these cases that I'm going to talk about. But we'll get to it. But yeah, I mean, people really got hurt from this kind of thing. And the crazy thing is that like mental health professionals were on board with it. Like they got caught up in it too. And they were treating it like it was a widespread real phenomenon, which it wasn't. Yeah. I mean, like I said, there might be a grain of truth in there. I'm not saying it's all made up, but it certainly wasn't as widespread as people thought it was. So the panic went on until the early 90s. And in 1995, HBO released a movie about the McMartin trial that reframed that incident and kind of debunked a lot of the stuff that was believed about it. I think that's the case I'm going to talk about. Yeah, McMartin trial. And that's pretty much, I guess you could say, if there's a hard end to the satanic panic, is probably 1995. And that's also the same year that Geraldo apologized for his TV show that he did on it. Mm-hmm. Whoops. Sorry, guys. This shit went way too far. I was just looking for some ratings. looking for the clicks, you know. And that's it. That was the satanic panic. Now, I have two cases I want to look at that I thought were interesting. The first one is more fun and goofy, and the second one gets pretty serious. So the first one is Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. which I played when I was a kid in the 80s. And, you know, our parents, especially my mom, if there was something controversial, she's more likely to get it for us than to prevent us from getting it, you know? If we wanted a Ouija board, she'd be all over it. Dungeons and Dragons, all over it. She's kind of goofy, you know, like that. But yeah, so Dungeons and Dragons was accused of promoting Satanism, witchcraft, suicide, murder, pornography, all this, just the whole nine yards. Everything, yeah. All the hot button issues, they were accused of promoting at one time or another, you know? There were a couple
witchcraft.
Of... witchcraft. Yeah. There were a couple of prominent cases. I won't go through all of them, but for example, James Dallas Egbert III, what a name, attempted...
Egbert,
yeah. He attempted suicide and disappeared in some steam tunnels in 1979. And then later, about 1 year later, in 1980, he successfully committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. But when
That'll do it.
Yeah, it'll do it. When he disappeared, the event was blamed on Dungeons & Dragons because he just so happened to be playing that game. Or, he had played it in the past. In 1981... Rona Jaffe, I guess, published a book called Mazes and Monsters, which had similarities to James's case. it was made into a TV movie as well. The book sold a lot. The movie was well known and popular at the time. And the movie starred Tom Hanks, of all people. I guess it was his first starring role in a movie. Interesting really? Little factoid there. In 1983, there was a movie called Skullduggery, and D&D in the movie was used as a tool of the devil to turn a young man into a serial killer. They didn't call it D&D in the movie, but that's basically what it was. Everybody knew what it was. There's, you know, copyright kind of a thing there going on. That's just a couple examples. There were plenty of depictions of Dungeons and Dragons in the media and books, movies, TV shows, whatever, showing it as being evil or a tool of the devil or something like that. But ironically, this created sort of a Streisand effect, and D&D grew in popularity by leaps and bounds, like multiples, like I forget the exact numbers, but you know, if they had $1 million in sales in 1979, they had 5 million in 1980. You know, every time one of these movies would come out, it would just blow it up in popularity. And, you know, parents were upset, you know, and kids were having fun playing this game that they knew their parents didn't want them to play, you know. Yeah. If you want to get something popular with the kids, get the parents to hate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lady named Patricia Pulling founded BADD, B-A-D-D, or Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons. Again, if you want to make something popular with the kids in the 80s, call it BADD. Because that was...
Yeah.
That was a slang term back then. Michael Jackson even had a song called Bad, I think.
Yeah, he did. I think it was called Bad.
Yeah.
I'm bad.
You know something it. Other. You know something like that.
You know yeah. it.
Don't sing too much. We'll get a copyright strike.
Yeah, I'll stop.
So she started Bad in 1982. You'd think it would be an organization, but nope, it was just her. So I'm not sure why they needed an entire name rather than her just saying, stop it, you know? So I don't know. Organization. She started it because her son committed suicide in 1982, and it turns out he also played Dungeons and Dragons.
That must have been the cause.
Yep, she blamed it on Dungeons and Dragons, and the media went right along with her. She sued her son's high school principal for placing a D&D curse on her son.
What?
Yeah, and she also sued TSR, the publisher of Dungeons and Dragons. That was the parent company. Her lawsuits were, of course, dismissed, but she alleged that Dungeons and Dragons encouraged suicide, rape, Satanism, and whatever else she could think of. You know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, just like Marilyn Manson.
Right? Yeah, society's ills were all due to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And this was well covered by the media, and it stuck. It contributed and got a lot of people to sort of believe. It's kind of like, what's that saying? Like, if you say something enough, people will start to believe it or whatever, you know? And that's what happened here. Yeah. They kept saying it and people kept believing it. So she passed away in 1997 and her one-person organization died along with her. 60 Minutes did a special in 1985, which interviewed several people, including Gary Gygax, one of the co-founders or the co-creators of Dungeons & Dragons. But overall, the program had a negative sort of skew on Dungeons & Dragons, and this was a huge pivotal kind of moment for the game when people really started, because again, 60 Minutes, that's a huge national show. That's when a lot more people started to become aware of this kind of a thing. In 1988, Chris Pritchard organized the murder of his parents to get their $2 million fortune. Him and a couple of friends... murdered them, basically. Well, they murdered his dad and put his mom into critical condition. Although he was in college, and although he was on drugs, they blamed Dungeons and Dragons because he so happened to be playing the game. A lot of people played the game back then. I think it's died off in popularity, but back then in the 80s, a lot of people played it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it hasn't. I don't know.
From what I understand, it's still pretty popular.
Yeah.
Like it did die off for a while, and I never played the game. Like I know, obviously, you know much more about the game than I do. But from what I understand, like it died off for a little bit, but now it's like really like coming back. From what I understand,
yeah, it did die off for a while there. I've played Basic and Second Edition for whatever reason. I played a little bit of First, but we never really got that much into it. So mostly Second and Basic, and then. We got to high school and then found other stuff to do, basically, in a nutshell. Yeah. Once you get a car, you don't play as much dungeon. At least we didn't. You know, once we all got cars, we started doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Going to the beach, going to parties, whatever.
Yeah, freedom. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to go out and party, you know?
Yeah, so that, I mean, they, so anyways, they blamed the murder of his parents on the game. The thing is, Dungeons & Dragons actually did have demonic stuff in the game, especially Advanced Dungeons & Dragons First Edition. They had deities and things, and they had devils and demons, and they had, like, real demons in the game, you know, from Christianity. I think, like, Asmodeus and stuff like that. I'm not sure what the actual names are, but, you know, the fallen angels, that was actually in the game. So, of course, parents were very upset about that. Well, they published a new edition, AD&D Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition, in 1989. And as a reaction to the satanic panic, they took things like devils and demons out of the game. Well, they didn't actually take them out of the game. They renamed them to something else. It was the same thing, but they called them something else. And instead of being from hell, they were from, like, an outer plane. You know, you go to the astral plane, and then you can go to the outer planes. And then the demons would have, like, had, like, this thing, the demons and the devils would fight each other. What were they called? It was like the Tannery and the Beta Zoo or something like that. I forget. It's been a long time since the 80s. But yeah, they redid that, right? So that the parents wouldn't be concerned anymore about having actual, you know, say actual satanic stuff in the game. It really was in the game. Mm-hmm. And they also took out certain character classes like assassin and races like half orc. And the game, they refocused the game more on players working together as a team to do good stuff, you know, rather than the game being a little more morally ambiguous, right? Mm. So before that, a lot of the adventures they would publish would be things that you could achieve the goals. If you were an evil character, you could still achieve the goals. You could still do that in second edition, but they try to put the focus more on being a good guy in the second edition versus the first edition. In 1997, TSR, the publisher of Dungeons & Dragons, was bought by Wizards of the Coast, the publisher of Magic the Gathering. And when they bought them, they brought satanic stuff back into the game. They're like, hey, this is over. The satanic panic's over. We can bring the demons and stuff back. So they did. It came full circle. And that's pretty much in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but we're doing the short version of all this stuff. That's the Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, the satanic panic had a real effect on the game. Gary Gygax said, look, guys, this stuff isn't real. It's only happening in your imagination. It's not like people are playing the game and then doing this stuff, you know, so he thought the whole thing was a little ridiculous and blown out of proportion, but it helped the sales of the game. The first edition especially blew up. They sold a bunch of books, and it popularized Dungeons & Dragons. So the satanic panic had a Streisand effect, right? It made the game way more popular than it probably would have been otherwise, because any publicity is good publicity. In this case, even the bad publicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so rebellious teens were drawn to it. You know?
Yeah. All right, so the other one I had, the specific case I wanted to talk about, was the McMartin preschool trial. This was a case of satanic abuse going from about 1983 to 1990. It became the most expensive and lengthy court case in the history of the United States at the time. Crazy, right?
Wow.
I think the number was, so it was like, the whole thing went on for about 7 years, and the number was like $15 million or something that was spent on it. Okay, so the members of the McMartin family ran a preschool, and it was very successful. They had a lot of kids there. I didn't find an exact number, but we'll get an exact number of supposed victims. In 1983, one of the parents accused her estranged husband and a teacher at the school named Ray Buckey, who is related to the McMartin family, of sexually abusing her child. I won't be more specific than that, but you can look it up if you want. The mom's name that made this accusation was Judy Johnson. She also accused the faculty of the school of many strange things like bestiality, being able to fly around, and just really weird stuff. She had a lot of...
They could fly?
Yeah, like witchcraft, you know, like a witch on a broom kind of a thing. All kinds of really strange stuff. she told the police, and the police sent a letter to the parents who had students in the school asking them if any of their kids had been abused. Several hundred of the kids were interviewed with questionable interviewing techniques. Again, you know, using leading questions and using dolls that were anatomically correct to try to get the kids to say stuff. So they found the people that were doing the interviews was, I forget the name of the organization, but it wasn't a government organization. It was like a private organization. They found that 360 kids had been ritually abused at this school. It's a ton. So obviously this was national news. People were covering this story all over the place, and people were very upset about this. They were taking it seriously. The specific stories were really weird. Children claimed that they had gone through underground tunnels, that they had seen witches flying around. One of the kids was even said that he was abused by, he or she, it didn't, I'm not sure which, said that Chuck Norris had abused them, of all people.
What?
Not Chuck. Say it ain't so, Chuck.
No.
That's, hey man, Chuck was America's hero in the 80s, you know?
Yeah, I mean, dude, the guy can clog a toilet with his piss, you know?
He can get blood from a turnip.
Yeah.
So other kids said that they were flushed down toilets and ended up in the tunnels where they were abused. Just
what?
All kinds of really bizarre stories were coming out of all this. The trials and the investigations that went into the trials themselves were like an absolute shit show. Prosecutors resigned. Evidence was withheld. There was perjury. Not a good trial. Things did not go smoothly. But the sad thing is that multiple faculty members were arrested and held for trial. The evidence was weak, and there are certain individuals who said throughout that, there's no evidence for any of this stuff. And after everything was said and done, after 7 years and all this time and money, nobody was ever convicted in this case. Ray Buckley was tried twice. The first time he was tried, most of the charges were dropped. He was tried again, and the second time, all of the charges were dropped. But he spent 5 years in jail before he was finally released. This case was covered by the media for years, and it was peak hysteria.
He was in jail while being like going through trial and stuff.
Yeah,
going through the courts
for 5 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
maybe he couldn't post bail or something like that. I have to assume
no, because of the nature of the case, because of this very serious accusations against him. He was not allowed. I'm guessing that's why he was not allowed bail. Some of the other people in the Buckley family who had been accused, or no, the not the Buckley, the Mick. What was it again? McMinnville? No, that's something else. The McMartin. Uh-huh. That's it. Yeah. Some of the people in the McMartin family did get to go out on bail, but he did not. Buckley did not. This is an example of when hysteria goes wrong. You know, this is just peak panic. And this is what I mean. These two cases, the Dungeons and Dragons in this case, are good examples of how they were focusing on the wrong thing. There was probably something nefarious going on there somewhere. It might have even been small groups of Satan worshipers, but they weren't looking in the right places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lives were ruined. The preschool business was lost. The building was demolished. So this family who had probably built this business up from scratch, they lost their livelihoods. They lost years of their lives in prison and in trials. Probably there was a huge financial burden involved there. Imagine trying to get it, even if you got out of jail on bail, imagine trying to get a job being accused of doing what these people were accused. And again, I don't want to get too into the weeds of what the specific accusations are, because they're not fun. Like I said, I don't want to mention those specifically. They're not good. I'll just leave it at that. They are not good. think Rosemary's Baby type stuff. Not good. Not good at all. People's lives got ruined. The children at the time who said that they were abused, many of them came out later on in life and said, that was all, we were not really abused. You can look up quotes for many of these people. Here's just one quote to give you an idea of the kind of shenanigans that were involved in this case. Never did anyone do anything to me, and I never saw them doing anything. I said a lot of things that didn't happen. I lied. Anytime I would give them an answer that they didn't like, they would ask again and encourage me to give them an answer they were looking for. I felt uncomfortable and a little ashamed that I was being dishonest, but at the same time, being the type of person I was, whatever my parents wanted me to do, I would do. So it sounds like there was some pressure, not just from the people interviewing, but also from the parents.
Yeah.
And that just gives you an idea. We're talking about preschoolers, very young children who are extremely easy to manipulate, extremely easy.
Yeah.
The woman who started this whole thing off, Judy Johnson, who made the initial accusation, studied from acute paranoid schizophrenia and severe alcoholism. She died in 1986 from things related to basically chronic alcoholism, right? Her body just shut down from being an alcoholic. But the fact that she had this mental illness was withheld from the defense for years. And then when it was finally told to the defense that she was mentally ill, they were not even given the whole story. So that's just one little tiny thing. When I was talking about evidence withheld and stuff like that, the trial being a shit show, that's just one example of many of, you know, how this trial went so wrong and destroyed innocent people's lives. You know, for all we know, this family and their employees were all great to the kids. If I had kids in daycare at one point, and most of the people working there love kids. You know, they want to take care of them as if they're their own children. They care for them greatly. So to accuse somebody of something like this is just horrible, especially without evidence, and especially from somebody who has acute paranoid schizophrenia, which,
yeah,
you know, I won't go into that, but look it up. You'll see why this whole thing is such a tragedy. There, like I said, there are something like 12,000 cases. Those were a couple of the more prominent ones, but these cases probably distracted from real actual problems that were going on at the time, unfortunately. You know, I don't know. That's basically in a nutshell what I had on the Satanic Panic. Those are a couple of cases. There are plenty more. Look them up if you're curious, if you are a glutton for punishment and you want to read about these things. So, I mean, that's kind of all. I don't really have too many final thoughts on it. I think I said everything I wanted to say during the episode. Any final thoughts, ETA?
Yeah, well, I mean, this case is one of those situations where I think certain, like, devout religious people, and I'm not against religion or anything like that, but I think people started looking for, like, Satan influence everywhere they could possibly look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there was everything. People accused, like we said, Dungeons and Dragons, bands like Kiss, that certain religious individuals said that Kiss standed for Knights in Satan's service. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different cases, you know, like that you could talk about. I mean, for example, like backward masking, when you take a song and you play it in reverse. I mean, there's a lot of different songs that you could say, you know, might be a satanic thing, I guess. You know, if you play in reverse, you hear certain verses, you know, or certain verbiage, you know, like, for example, like the Beatles, Revolution Number 9. If you play that in reverse, there's a certain part of the song that says, "Turn me on, dead man." And I don't know if that's satanic or not, but I, in my opinion, I think that's like kind of just a coincidence, you know?
Some musicians said that they started putting back masking in their songs in response to this.
Actually, Weird Al Yankovic is one of those artists, believe it or not. In his 1983 album, I want to say, 3D, I think it's called 3D. He has a part of the song where it says, Satan, if you play it in reverse, it says, "Satan eats cheese whiz." So I always thought that was pretty hilarious.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I think you covered pretty much that. I mean, you can get into the weeds, and there's so many different examples, you know, like even like Rainbow Bright. There was a religious, I forget the guy's name, but he was talking about like Rainbow Bright. The rainbow represents like a networking of the new age. Hmm. And like Rainbow Bright had like a five-star or five-sided star, which he thought was a pentagram. You know, I mean, shit, there's, I mean, you can go, there's so much out there. Like even like, this one religious fella, he was like a pastor or something like that, Phil Phillips. He claimed that Star Wars, like there's a bunch of different stuff in Star Wars that represented Satan or what have you, or occult practices, you know. Obi-Wan, for example, I guess there was some kind of ancient witchcraft that was named like Obi, and they would chant like Obi, Obi, or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I mean, it's even like the Smurfs, you know. So I guess like there was a religious group that claimed that the Smurfs cartoon was a satanic ritual cartoon or of some sort, because like when you die, your skin becomes blue, I guess. I don't know if that's always true.
Well, Gargamel was like a witch or a wizard or something, right? So there.
Well, I don't know.
Something to that, maybe.
Well, I guess there was also like one of the episodes where because all the Smurfs were men, there's only one female,
right?
From what I understand, Smurfette, right?
Busy lady. But,
yeah. But like, feel sorry for her. But like, I guess there was one episode where she actually transforms into a male of some sort, like she was born a male maybe or something. Like, I don't know. I heard about it very, very briefly in a video that I watched like leading up to this. So I don't have all the information on that, but I mean, even like bands like AC/DC, people claim that like their AC/DC, you know, represents Antichrist, devil's child, stuff like that. You know, even like, you know, like, what's his name?
That's alternate current, direct current. But AC/DC is also slang for being, I don't know, maybe bi or something.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard of that.
Somebody told me that before, so I don't know if that's true or not, but there's various slangs. I've never heard of being satanic though. Maybe it is. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, shit, you can go on for forever with this stuff, but, my final thoughts, I guess I could say, is there Satan worship and worship of like Baphomet and stuff like that, maybe with like high level politicians or people who have quite a bit of control?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah,
I think absolutely. Yeah. Does it go as far as some people claimed during the satanic panic of like the '80s and stuff like that? I don't think so, but there is something there for sure. There is like you said earlier in the episode, there is a grain of truth here. It may have started somewhere. It may have also got out of control in some spheres, but I think, yeah, that's my opinion. You know, it's some of it's not legit, but there is, I definitely think that there is satanic worship obviously out there for sure. You know, that is a thing, you know? So I don't think it spans as far as like, you know, music and stuff like that. I think some of the satanic influence in music is kind of there as a somewhat of a culture, I guess you could say.
Right.
You know, they want the sound of their music to be a certain way, I guess. I don't know. I'm not doing a great job of explaining it, but you know, I don't think some of this music, you know, is necessarily satanic in nature. It just has that, you know, influence, I guess, right, where they want to sound a certain way. You know?
It's just part of the culture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that if you have heavy metal, they just sort of trend towards that direction, you know? My favorite satanic song, which is definitely intentionally satanic, is The Devil Is in the Details by Boards of Canada. That one's great. Mm-hmm. And they get real nerdy with it because there's all sorts of references in like the harmony of the song and like the rhythms and just like the way their meters are structured and the way the piece is structured, you might not notice it upon first hearing, but the piece, it sounds really creepy. So if you want to listen to some good devil music, go listen to The Devil Is in the Details by Boards of Canada. Maybe I'll post it on the Discord.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, you should check it out. It's a fun song. Boards of Canada is actually a Scottish band. and they do just like real mellow, chill kind of stuff. So they're not like heavy metal or anything like that. They got a bunch of old equipment that nobody wanted anymore, and then they made some music with it, basically. But maybe more on that in the after hours or something.
That's cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's about time to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening, and Thank you.
Keep that shit strange.
Hold on.
What'd I do?
I got to do the call to action first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, clicking stuff and whatever. If you enjoyed the show, you can really help us out by liking the video or, you know, leaving us a good review, clicking things that are on. I don't even know what things are on yet. I haven't really uploaded much. And suggesting the show to your friends. Until next time.
Keep it strange.
All right.